Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. Food is a type of connecting tissue. I don't have to tell you this, you already know it. Food brings people together, whether it be at home, in a restaurant, or at a workplace. And chefs are uniquely situated to be able to facilitate this connection. Today I talked to two chefs from two countries, but they're both located in largely rural regions that have many similarities, and they share a common theme of respecting what it is that people prefer to eat, even as they may nudge them in new directions. Join us at the table, roll up your sleeves, dig in.
Because I grew up hunting ptarmigan and, yeah, and puffin in the west, in the islands where my grandmothers and great grandmothers were living with their 16 kids growing up and living off the sea and the islands.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I find it just looks really good on small local businesses supporting other local farmers and fishermen, really kind of keeping our money where it belongs here. Right?
And there's no easy things in the kitchen. That's where you mess up.
I often joke with people who say, my nephew or my niece or my son is kind of interested in cooking and thinking about going to culinary school. And I'm like, go get a trade or do something. You know? This is not for everyone, man.
Our first stop today is on Broadway, a short two-block street in the heart of the original working-class shopping district of Cornerbrook, not to be confused with the other part of that city's downtown, which was originally controlled by the paper company. We head into a restaurant located along a strip of stores and sandwiched between a jeweler's and a shoe establishment. We are at the Best Coast Cafe. We'll meet the chef here. He delights in feeding people, but he also understands the challenge of making a living while doing that.
My name is David Thatcher, and we are at Best Coast Cafe here in Cornerbrook, Newfoundland.
Can you remember when you decided that being a chef would be your life?
Well, I started a long time ago as a waiter at Sorrento's, and I was probably 16 or 17. And then Stoyan Zahanoff, the owner of Sorrento's, offered me a job in the kitchen instead. So I went down there, worked there 2 years. Then that brought me to Holland College, which brought me to Bianca's and St. John's, which brought me back out here to this place.
Tell me a bit about Best Coast Cafe.
Best Coast Cafe is a kind of lunch, brunch, breakfast spot. We do items along those lines of Eggs Benedict, fish cakes, and our lunch items are pastas, sandwiches, soups. We try to do stuff that people can recognize with a little bit of flair, but not too different that people don't want to order it.
That fine line. Yeah. The familiar.
Especially around here, people really, you got to give them what they want. It's not about trying new things and doing all this crazy stuff because it's hip and cool. It's about getting people to eat the food that they want to eat and want to buy.
What is it about feeding people that arouses such passion? Chefs are often very passionate about what they do.
I think a lot of it comes from enjoying good food ourselves. We like putting out good food because we like enjoying it ourselves.
One of the things we're obviously talking about in this show a lot is local food. How do you incorporate local foods into your menu?
We try to use as much as we can. It's not always available. Summer is obviously a lot better with fresh cod, fresh halibut, stuff like that. We can get some stuff from farmers markets, but it's kind of got to look around for it.
So the challenges of getting local food would be just access, that the time it takes for you who want to be spending time in the kitchen to be out at the farm?
Well, exactly that. I mean, it's so hard when big companies can ship you everything you need, one shot, best price, and if you need X 100 pounds of this, are you really going to be able to get it every week consistently? So that's, I find that the quality is always there, but the quantity is not necessarily always there.
Do people who come in here, do they ask about local food?
I find tourists more will ask if it's local, if this stuff's from around here, what's your Newfoundland kind of food here? But locals, not so much. I guess we almost assume if you're getting cod, it's going to be from Newfoundland. Personally, I find it just looks really good on small local businesses supporting other local farmers and fishermen and stuff like that. like that to really kind of keep our money where it belongs here, right?
Are there ingredients that you've really tried to find locally and that you think we could grow locally? And
I really push for the availability of the berries chanterelles and stuff like that. You know, you can get your hands on them, but you really got to know a guy who's out there that's willing to sell them. And I mean, picking berries, picking chanterelles is hard work, and you got to be willing to pay that money for the full bucket of fresh, local, organic blueberries. And then be able to make that affordable for the people to buy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't always just be like, here's a blueberry tart, but it's $5 because they're local and it's all fresh. Yeah. And it's, instead of getting one out of a pack and say, here's $2, but it came from a box.
Yeah. Do you think there is a price sensitivity? Like, if the price is a bit too high, if they're local chanterelles, that it just doesn't sell?
There is. You really, really got to find that fine line. I mean, as nice as it is, you don't want to come in and lose your shirt for your lunch.
Yes.
Right? When you can go to another restaurant and pay $7 for your full meal. So there's kind of got to be a balance,
The special soup is carrot, ginger, cilantro today. Yeah. So if you said local carrots, you couldn't sell it for 50 cents more necessarily.
Depends. Yeah. Local carrots, maybe no. Local chanterelles, maybe yes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You kind of got to pick your battles with that stuff. Right?
What's your favorite local food that you get in, a local product?
Halibut, I'd say. Halibut. When we get the fresh halibuts in and they are fresh, 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 there is no comparison. And our cod, too.
Yeah.
I think people in Newfoundland almost take our cod for granted.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't understand. Like, this stuff is the best of the best in the world.
Yeah.
And we are just like, we got a fridge full because we go out in the food fisheries and we catch our quotas and we come home. But, like, if you go anywhere else or someone comes here and you give them that fresh, seared cod, it's top shelf, right?
And that's the kind of thing maybe tourists are looking for. They're asking for those things.
Big time. Big time. And that's when you really can really push these things and really sell them.
Is there some music I should fold under this? Something that you listen to in the kitchen?
Well, I'm a big fan of The Fortunate Ones from Andrew and Catherine from here in Corner Brook. Yeah. So I really like to push them as much as I can and give them any props that I can give them. They just played here the other night and it was an amazing show.
Do they eat here as well?
They do, They always come in. They're great musicians, great people, and we really enjoy it.
Everyone tells you when you're wrong to leave to the tune of a wandering song. Someday you'll see before too long that they're gonna miss you when you're gone. So you get in a car with all your plans. You look down to see your stranger's hands. Wherever you go, go with all your heart, the way that you planned it at the start. The way that you planned it at the start, to go all the way with all your heart, to go all the way with your whole heart, the way that you planned it at the start. Everyone says it is plain to see that everyone knows myself but me. We try in our own way just to be a shade of the people in our dreams. A shade of the people in our dreams. We try in our own way just to be. We try in our own way just to be. A shade of the people that we see. So sing like a bird or like a kid. Remember the days when that's what you did. And where is that smile that used to break? Sunlight in the morning on your face.
A that's the Fortunate Ones with Wherever You Go. They're a band that loves to eat at the Best Coast Cafe when in town. We head back there to talk with Chef David Vatcher about the local food culture, getting access to local products, and his experience as the head chef at this past year's gathering in Burlington in central Newfoundland, Labrador.
Do you think that the food culture, as it were, is different here on the West Coast than maybe in Central or in St. John?
Here, I find, is getting better. St. John's, obviously, with more people and the more stuff available to them, is really kind of skyrocketed lately. Like, we like to go out, and just for that reason, just to eat at these restaurants and see what they're doing and how they're doing it. And it's just, these guys are not playing around out there. It's really, really nice stuff.
If you had a market like the St. John's Farmers Market, would you go like every, is that a possible?
I would like to, yeah. I would like to. I mean, when we have the Farmers Market here in Cornerbrook, the one on O'Connell, we do like to go up there and get some stuff, you know what I mean? Like a lot of their nice kale is nice and their beets are really nice. And, but again, you know, you need a lot to necessarily have as much as you're going to need. Like it's good for to run a special for a day. You want to do a kale salad, you can get enough for a day, but I couldn't put it on the menu and expect it to be there every single day, every single week, right?
If you need a bacon for your eggs benedict, you want to have that every day.
That's the thing. Like I also had farmers too come in being like, you know, we got local nice potatoes, and they say, well, I need 400 pounds a week. Do you got it? And can you deliver it? And can you meet me almost on the price? So it's like I said, you got to find that common middle ground, you know.
There needs to be a co-op or some sort of a central source where if somebody doesn't have 400 pounds, somebody else does.
Yeah. That would be nice if there was a kind of a co-op, like a common hub that all these people could consistently supply, and then we could all benefit.
Is there an item you'd love to put on your menu, but you maybe can't get the ingredients, or you're not quite sure the price point is going
to
work?
I'd like to work with more fresh beef, fresh pork from local farmers. I did Burlington, the gathering in Burlington this year.
Yes.
We sourced pretty much all that through local farmers and stuff. The fresh beef and fresh pork that we were using out there was just beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Yeah. I meant to ask you about that, because that's an interesting kind of event that's been put together by Sean Majumdar. And so you were the guest chef or whatever for this year?
Yeah, I was lead chef for the festival,
Did you like study for months in advance thinking, well, what am I going to do with these foodies who are coming?
it was kind of weird because I kind of found out about it really late and kind of really had to get feet on the ground fast, and it all moved along really quickly, and I'd barely even heard of it. I'd never been to it. I had no idea what I was going into. I had no idea what kind of equipment, what was out there, what I was working with, and it came together really well, but it was interesting. I'm not sure if you guys know, but it's the Dry Festival. Okay. So if you take that side of it out, that really spearheads it into focusing on the food and the music, and it almost makes it better, I find. People are there, and they're looking, and they're listening, and they're eating, and they're tasting, instead of just...
Were there any items that you cooked there that you've added to, or thought you should add to the menu, or any ideas that you got from that?
Well, one of the chefs that work out there that runs a restaurant called Scoff in Fogo, he had an idea for this beet salad that he did. Beet and grilled kale salad, and I'm not big on beets myself, but it was really, really nice, and I haven't borrowed it yet. But I've made it at home and stuff, and it's really, really nice. So stuff like that, and just learning from these guys and these girls that come out and just can teach me and everybody else around them so much stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time and chatting, but this is great. Thanks, David, and all the best.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Live by the choices that you made. Don't let the light inside you fade. Baby can burn out when you're old. Let time take your mind, but not your soul. Let time take your mind, but not your soul. Baby can burn out when you're old. Baby can burn out when you're old. Let time take your mind, but not your soul.
By request of David Vatcher, that was The Fortunate Ones with Wherever You Go. For the next interview today, we head to Iceland In many regions of the world, including this one, I'm always impressed with how workplaces tend to have attractive cafeterias where people eat together. Places that serve good food and where conversation flows smoothly, unlike in our country where more and more people eat in their offices or their cars. Just like families, workplaces that eat together are stronger and more resilient. Indeed, it's in the interests of employers that their workers eat together. It's a crisp October day. I'm visiting the Agricultural University of Iceland. I'm on one of my usual attempts to increase our collaboration with the folks who were the first Europeans to live in our province. After a morning of meetings, I'm invited to the cafeteria for lunch. Obviously, I'm delighted. So delighted that I stayed behind to chat with the chef. Like many in Newfoundland Labrador, he grew up eating a lot of game. He knows traditional Icelandic food, like the sour foods that are preserved in whey, but he also understands the significant influence of Danish food customs in his country. It's possibly the legacy of centuries of colonial connection. Join us in the bright cafeteria, with comfortable chairs and lots of natural wood. It's kind of like hanging out in an IKEA showroom, really.
Yeah, my name is Olli Einarsson, and we're in Hvanneyri, Borgarfjarðarsýsla, Iceland.
And you are the head chef here at...
Yeah, I'm the chef. There's just me. I do everything here for this cafeteria.
Yeah.
It's me. Me, myself, and I.
What's your background in being a chef?
I started 17, 25 years ago. Didn't actually know if I wanted to be a chef. I wanted to be a baker, like my grandfather. Yeah. Because he taught me to bake like I was 6 years old. I was making cakes that are known here in Iceland, old stuff. But the time the bakers needed to wake up, it was no good for me either. So I was just...
That's the problem.
Yeah. But it changed rapidly around 2000 when they got the new kind of technology and... started to wake up late and it was easier for them.
Would you ever go back to that?
I always bake. I bake my own bread and cakes and it's, well, yeah, I wanted to do everything.
So I've been told that one of the things you're trying to do here is to use as much local food
as
possible.
Yeah.
What are the challenges with that?
It's the few months that it is. It's like within 3 months or so because we're closed in July and maybe that should be the peak of... So, but I get produce from, I open in August, late August, and until about this time it's starting to get, you know, more difficult to get the Icelandic produce, but it comes, you know, the cucumber, the peppers, the salads, some of it, and other stuff, but, you know, I try as best as I can, but it's, you gotta... look at the big picture.
How easy is it for you to buy stuff from farmers? Are there like markets that exist? Or?
It's mainly here is really easy to get in contact with the people because they work here. Okay. They are the professors or whatever their position in the school is, and they know people who are around. The school is so big. It's all over. And one teacher say, "You want my white cabbage and cauliflower?" It's made by me and grown naturally, organically, and as I, of course, I buy it. It's easy.
Yeah, but you have to sort of know somebody, which just makes it difficult for just a regular person
to cook like you. Yeah, because I live in this area, mm-hmm. or state or whatever you call it. It's I know the people who live there, what they have to offer. I want from here, like potatoes from... A lady who comes here, it's her mother who sells me the potatoes now, but she's almost finished because there was horrible conditions this year.
Yeah.
Too much wetness. But it's, I take it when I can.
Do you think that people in Iceland in general value local food? Is there a real drive to have more local food?
Much more now than ever. Like restaurants were popping up in Reykjavik now.
Yeah.
Like fungi in the wild. As I say, because I moved from Reykjavik. I was in Reykjavik city center cooking for some years, and it was like now it's all new restaurants, and with they get this lamb, they have this lamb from this farmer only, and these carrots from this, they advertise that as they can, and the fish and the shellfish, and they go together maybe and look for these products like all kinds of shellfish and seaweed, and the staff goes together. Yeah. That's their what they are focusing on.
Yeah. What are kinds of traditional foods that was
eaten in Iceland that aren't eaten very much anymore? Are there some things that have sort of traditions that have been lost or ways of cooking?
Maybe the cooking is changing, like it's continuing fast, like from everybody starting to sous vide or you know, this cooking without oxygen in a plastic bag and or whatever they're doing.
Right, okay.
And but the old traditions here, like I did a paper on Icelandic cooking. It was the most difficult thing I ever did because it was mostly made with whey, a misa, the sour product from and that's basically it. They had put everything in misa. They had cold misa for walkers who walked around farms that were secluded, like far away, and they had it as for the guests who were thirsty, and gave them some salts and acid and water and some pickled heads of birds. And
right,
it's really not. The other thing is that we have the Danish heritage, so much.
Yeah.
This marmalades and everything. That's not ours, basically. If you have to go really back, but there's a restaurant in Reykjavik that does the Icelandic things, like the boiled cod's head, and things, the cheeks and everything that no one ever probably won't eat. Or but it's very popular. Last week I made soup that's called. It's made from rye bread, cinnamon, but it's not Icelandic. It's made. I think it's Danish. It's really difficult to have. I have a smoked lamb, of course, around Christmas here.
Yep.
With the white bechamel sauce and everything. But
you did a dish today that was traditional.
Yeah, plokkfiskur.
Plokkfiskur.
Yeah, but that's really just, I think it's not that Icelandic. It's, you know, made from like other courses that you, like you told me about. Yeah. And the French version of with lots of garlic and cheese on the top. And yeah, of course it's similar. And with the rye bread, I think that's still the Danish thing.
Is there a song that I could play as part of this?
Yeah, probably. I sometimes listen to music when I'm cooking, but the song, I don't know, some rock and roll.
Yes, indeed, that is Boston with their song Something About You, as requested by my guest, Ole Einarsson. We begin this section by talking about a chef that he admired and the importance of respecting the local foods that people value.
There was a chef I really liked to watch the shows and read his books, Anthony Bourdain. And I, you know, he traveled all over and I was really heartbroken when he just heard the news about him.
Did he come to Iceland?
Yeah, I come to Iceland. I met him in a tiny picture at the bar where he came to meet all the Icelandic chefs.
It was like he respected the local food.
Yep.
It wasn't what he would cook or eat, maybe, but he respected it.
What do people here eat?
Yeah.
Not the tourists.
Yeah.
And it's like I was in Sweden this weekend, and I say, okay, where do I go eat? And then I remember what he said. He said, go where the people are, the local people.
Yeah.
If it's full there, go there. If it's empty, I wouldn't trust the food. It could be weeks old or whatever.
What would you like to serve here sometime?
Here? I seldom like put the smoked sausage made from a horse and, mm-hmm. and that. Mm-hmm. It's really popular. I rarely use salted things. And I make, called forlornhare in Dansk. But it's called, I think it's made from minced meat. What's it called?
Yeah, like a haggis kind of thing?
No, it's fresh. Fresh
meatloaf?
Meatloaf,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. It just got stolen from my head for a second.
Yeah.
The meatloaf.
Yeah,
I make, you know, you can buy it, but it's all been changed. Like they make it cheaper with the farsh. They make the gluten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not good. I like to use, you know, if it's beef, it's beef, and I tell it's beef. I don't sell it as a horse, and it's beef or other way around.
Yeah.
I use foal a lot because it's so lean as a steak, and the fish, of course. I make as much as I can.
Have you ever made anything that you're never going to make again?
I stopped using recipes a long time ago because if you learn the basics, I use recipes for baking, but I sometimes just measure it out like 1 kilo, 1 kilo, half a kilo in my, you know. Looked at so many times. Yeah, I made some stuff that's, of course, you can't learn from anything if you don't make mistakes.
Right, yeah.
It's no way you're perfect. You can make anything perfect. Like some people say, it's perfect. It's a, I gotta go to the drawing board, try to make it, you know, for me.
Yeah. One of the things I like about some of the institutions I visited here, schools and so on, is that people all eat together. Like they eat lunch and they're eating their office.
No.
A sandwich from.
No, I'm happy for that because.
But that's important for the social, for the fabric of things too.
Yeah, and I buy the potatoes and the vegetables, and I use a grain called barley. It's grown here, and I know the guy who does it. He's done a wonderful job for organic growers here in Iceland, and there's a lot of things he does, especially from the barley, from the root vegetables he grows, and the fine herbs. And I look up to him, and I use his products, like the milled barley for the bread. I make a mixed bread called, it's from malt, and it's not sourdough, it's a mix in between.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's, you know, I can make it and forget about it in the fridge for one day, and then just make it for the week and freeze it.
What's your favorite Icelandic food?
Game.
Game.
Yeah, okay. Because I grew up hunting ptarmigan and puffin in the west, in the islands where my grandmothers and great grandmothers were living with their 16 kids growing up and living off the sea and the islands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like game. Still like it. Love it. I like fish. I like little scallops from the west. And it has to be from here. I can go buy Thai shrimp and everything.
Right.
It's frozen, ready, usable. It's the difference between the really good flavors and the lost flavors that I like.
Well, thanks for taking the time out to chat with me. It was a great meal.
Yeah, it was just that typical Monday.
Typical Monday.
There's no fresh fish on Monday night. Usually not.
That was the classic rock band Boston, as requested by Ole Einarsson, a chef at the Agricultural University of Iceland in the stunning community of Kvanaray, a place that's far more attractive than Boston, the city. As you may have noticed, both Ole and David, the two chefs on today's show, talked about the challenges of getting local products in a territory that has a short growing season, but both are doing what they can.
Go where the people are, the local people.
Yeah.
If it's full there, go there. If it's empty, I wouldn't trust the food. It could be weeks old or whatever. What do people here eat?
Yeah.
Not the tourists. Yeah.
We try to do stuff that people can recognize with a little bit of flair, but not too different that people don't want to order it.
I got this good lamb. What does the lamb eat? Can I use that now? The berries or something? Mm-hmm. And the herbs and a few other things, not much more. Because the lamb eats that, use that.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador and sometimes Iceland Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes or for more information or to get in touch with me, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were Wherever You Go by The Fortunate Ones and Something About You by Boston. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was done this week by the American mandolin master, Adam Steffi. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
As nice as it is, you don't want to come in and lose your shirt for your lunch.
It's, you can't learn from anything if you don't make mistakes.
Right, yeah.
It's no way you're perfect.